You're listening to the Ringside Podcast.
Welcome to Ringside,
the show that brings you all that is pro wrestling news, interviews, and opinions.
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
Woo! You know what? You know what? You just made the list.
Really?
With Daniel Spencer,
the jabroni beaten, now by Eaton.
Jeremy Wallman,
that I'm the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
And Eric Cornish.
And I think that the spotlight should go on top of me.
And now, let's ring the bell and start the show.
Welcome to the Ringside Podcast. I'm Daniel Spencer.
I'm Jeremy Wallman.
And I'm Eric Cornish.
Man, has it been... Guys, how are you doing? I forgot what you look like, Jeremy. Eric, I see him once a week, but I forgot what you look like, Jeremy.
Hopefully I'm looking svelte. I'm down 33 pounds in the last month and, you know, clanging and banging, brother. So, very glad to see y'all as well.
Actually, Jeremy, you do look great. Keep up the good
work.
Yeah,
you do.
I'm starting very to much. Slim myself, so I'm hoping to look different by Father's Day 2022, which is the Impact Slammiversary. So 20th anniversary. I'm hoping to have a little different look to myself. Not as far as slimmer, not the
I mean, that's cool. I mean, some people like the, you know, hopefully the transition is complete by then.
But yeah, it's been a great, and we miss you at sitting in the front row at OVW too as well, Jeremy. You need to come back.
I will, as soon as I've got some extra time. Right now, as everybody knows, life's a little hectic for me. But yeah, I'll be back soon. The wifey will be home for the whole month of July, so we'll make it every week then at least, and then hopefully by the time she goes back to doing her super secret top secret government job that she's doing.
Are you allowed
things
to say
will
that
have settled down? I don't know. I just did. Right. Hopefully things will have calmed down a little bit and we're able to, you know, have some answers to some questions we have about the parents' health. But yeah, I miss OVW so much and I can't wait to get back.
Well, and yeah, speaking of super secret, it seems like, you know, a lot of people talking about super secret stuff with OVW. We're just, you know, we're just going full forward. We're just doing our summer tour, doing our weekly Thursday shows and our big pay-per-views, and it, you know, who knows, maybe some of those rumors are true. I guess it remains to be seen.
I'm away for 3 months and I hear y'all may be going to Netflix.
I don't know what I have no idea if any of that. All I know is we have a summer tour coming
up. I mean, and yeah, I'm just saying, like, that's
what people are talking about.
Yeah, either Netflix,
you know.
Hulu, or
innuendo,
Apple.
The rumor and innuendo out there, but I have no idea what it is or what not. But I don't want.
Well, and I'm the OVW insider apparently, and I have no idea what's going on.
I just know this. I know you'll see a lot of extra equipment filming us as we go on through this summer tour, and where that lands, I guess we'll see in the late winter, early spring. So
yeah,
all I'm saying, if y'all need an extra or if y'all need to interview any fans, I'm available. I don't charge that much. We'll be good.
Hey, yeah. We'll be lucky if either one of us gets.
That's fair.
The only big thing I know about that red and black brand is that the Stranger Things season 4 is coming out this weekend, so I'm looking forward to that. I know my daughter is, so I'm hyped about that one. So that's what
Speaking of Stranger Things, we had a couple of those at the beginning of the Ringside Podcast journey that we've got rid of. So it's nothing but great things here now.
That's right.
Hi, JK. Hi, Chase.
Happy belated birthday, JK. Also,
for sure,
OVW summer tour, though, as Eric mentioned, that, you know, we're coming to a town near you. We're going as far as south as Nashville and Clarksville, Tennessee. I'm going as north as far as Wisconsin. So, I mean, this tour is kind of spread out. And you'll see us in Indiana. You'll see us in Louisville. You'll see us in Corbin, Bowling Green, Hazard, Kentucky, Ashland, Kentucky.
Wait,
Newport,
starting off in Georgetown, Memorial Day weekend. Yeah. So,
Carrollton.
Wait, y'all will be inside Corbin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy or barren? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, we'll be happy. We'll be happy to be there.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. And but yeah, we're going all over the place, and it's pretty exciting. And like I said, this is north as Wisconsin, so you might see us up there, and you might hear a little Wham when you're up there too. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm telling you this. If you are planning on, you know, maybe venturing to Nashville to see a little SummerSlam, to see maybe Ric Flair get in the ring one more time, you might as well be there all weekend long and catch some OVW too. And we'll get more details on that as we get closer.
Right, right. There's just breaking news everywhere. And speaking of that, we'll go ahead and talk about one of the, you know, first of all, I want to say this. It's been a while since we've been on, a few months actually. We've all been busy, had a lot going on. We've had opportunities to probably record, but I just didn't want us to record and then turn around and go three weeks and miss again. I wanted to kind of get back in a habit, not Sister Act 2, although I do love that movie, but, you know, get back into it and keep going. So and I think I used that joke, by the way, on like an old episode. But
You did.
I think it was the title of the episode. But yeah, so a lot of news, but to go, and we're going to backtrack a little bit on this news, but since he brought it up, let's talk about this. Ric Flair just announced that he's going to come sort of out of retirement to turn around and retire again and have one more final match in Nashville, Tennessee, SummerSlam weekend. That's the Sunday, on, the Starcast, right? Is that what's going on, or is it Starcast? Is that what they're calling it? Or WrestleCon?
Yeah. And it's, I mean, they're saying it's brought to you by Jim Crockett Promotions, which is interesting. I don't know how that works, but yeah, we don't know the match yet. I got you. Yeah, I don't know, and we don't really know what the match is. I mean, there's been a lot of rumors, but you know, at 73 years old, I don't know. Do I want to see Flair wrestle one more time? Not really, but you know, I want to leave the memories alone, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. He came out of retirement once already in TNA, which, by the way, TNA's 20th anniversary is coming up on June 19th, as I mentioned earlier. But TNA Impact, I said TNA, but it's really Impact now. You know, that was kind of like when he did that, I think a lot of people were upset, like, oh, man. But, you know, the fact that he's coming out yet again. He's been training with Jay Lethal. We've seen the videos for a couple months out there. I wonder what it was all about. He's possibly training for a match. We were confused. And what do you mean a match? And then who knows? Maybe this was the whole reason he went to WWE and said, I want to do one more match. And they told him no. So that's why he left. You know, I mean, that could have been one of the reasons why he asked for his release. He says, well, I'll just do it myself. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not, but it could be.
Yeah, I mean, when me and Nate were chopping it up in St. Louis at the end of January, that's what I gathered from the whole situation was that he left because they didn't get. And this is shoot. Am I doing that right, Daniel? I know you like to use all.
Yeah.
This is shoot, brother. He said that I overheard him saying that he was just unhappy. He wanted to do some stuff that they didn't want to let him do. So I'm going to assume that was a match. So, and I told him, he asked me, he's like, should I do another match? I was like, no, Rick, don't do another match. So
Jeremy was like, as long as you go train with Jay Lethal first, yeah. Then yes, Conrad was there too. So Conrad, you ought to put on the show. And then, yeah,
I wish you all could have been there with me that night. It was one of the most amazing nights of my life. Just watching Ric Flair. Entertaining and he did not turn anybody down. Anybody that walked up to him and asked him for a picture or an autograph or wanted to tell a story, he listened to their story, and it was just amazing. And
just go back to the last episode. You'll hear all about the Ric Flair stories from that because
it happened last week on Ringside Podcast, the last episode. So, but yeah,
it was pretty cool. You know, I said that I don't want to see him, and maybe it's just Ric Flair, but I don't want to be a hypocrite because, let's face it, there's another guy that's the same age as he is that's still out there wrestling every weekend, and Jerry the King Lawler, and still, you know, doing the same stuff he's always done. So I don't want to be a hypocrite. The age really has nothing to do with it. It's just something about the legacy of Ric Flair. I think he had such a good send-off, you know, well, and he did come back for a little bit.
I'm not knocking Flair. I love Flair. The difference is all Jerry has been constantly doing it. Flair, yes, he may have been doing something in the business going on and on, but he wasn't out there taking bumps and doing things in the ring and whatnot. And now I'm not saying Jerry Lawler is either, because I'm pretty sure he's not taking as many bumps as he used to. But you know, there's now both of them has defeated death. So, it's actually Ric Flair quite a few times. So that's interesting. I mean, you know, I've heard, you know, the rumor was Ricky Dragon Steamboat, and that was knocked. And there was somebody else they mentioned, and I think that was out. Now the new rumor is Hogan is bringing in Hulk Hogan. So can you imagine, like, if both of them decide to do their final match together? Like, that's something. That right there would make me just want to go just for the nostalgia of it, let alone, you know, I'll remember them in their prime or even a little bit after their prime and enjoyed their work. But just to be able to say, hey, I got to see their final match together.
But if they were going to do it, you think they're doing it at the Nashville Fairgrounds? I don't think so.
They can't do it. Where are they going to do it? Where else are they going to do that?
I don't know. I just feel like there's more money to be made there.
I do too, but I don't think the E gives them that ability, lets them do it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Tony Khan, you know, has banned Hulk Hogan's wife, so our ex-wife, so he's banned also. So it's not happening there. But I don't know. I would feel sorry for them if it was Hogan and Flair in the Nashville Fairgrounds. Nothing wrong with the Fairgrounds. A lot of history there. Both of them have wrestled there before. But come on.
Hey,
not for this last.
Other news, speaking of the Nashville Fairgrounds, I hinted to it earlier. Impact Wrestling Slammiversary, 20th anniversary, is going to be live in Nashville, Tennessee on Sunday, June 19th from the Nashville Fairgrounds. And you never know who you're going to see from the 20 years of Impact Wrestling, but you can go right now on impactwrestling.com. You can vote for your favorites and of who's impacted you, no pun intended, over the last 20 years. And from tag teams to knockouts to X Division stars and things like that. So that's pretty cool. We'll check that out. But so much that's going to happen, so much of a celebration that week. And then the TV tapings follow afterwards. Listen to Ringside for your chance to win tickets to both Slammiversary and the TV tapings that follow the next night. Or just one or the other. If you don't want to go to the both, then why not? But why not get the opportunity to go to both of them? But yes, Impact Wrestling. Yes, I know I'm biased. I work there, but it is you know, the best wrestling product on TV today, top to bottom, my opinion. And I'm excited for it.
I got to tell you, it is quite nostalgic to think back 20 years ago, because I spent a lot of time, you know, 19, 20 years ago there at the Nashville Fairgrounds at the old asylum and watching the shows. I was there the first night AJ Styles won his first world title. And, you know, there were so many cool memories, you know, there in the early days of TNA. So it is really cool to see that, you know, and through all the trials and tribulations and ownership changes and name changes, that it is still out there. And you're right, it's one of the best products on TV. It's you know, they're doing great stuff. They just need to get in front of more eyeballs, as we've talked about before. But kudos to them for making it 20 years.
Yeah, I didn't think they were going to make it past 10. So the fact that we're sitting here at 20 is a major accomplishment. And they just continue to get a little better every week, every month, every show. And it's really it's joined up there with WWE. Actually, it may have, in some levels, surpassed them, because in this particular category, they tease surprise returns and they pay off every single time. And that's something that the other two don't necessarily do all the time. It's like the other, like last week on Dynamite, everybody thought that there was going to be two huge returns as the Jokers, and we ended up with a returning wrestler and Johnny, insert promotion name. I can't wait for him to come to OVW and be Johnny Valley or Johnny Ohio. Like it's so I say Impact has surpassed them at this point anyway, as far as promising big surprises and delivering on them. So Yeah, kudos to Impact, because y'all know when we started this podcast, I would rather watch myself have diarrhea than to watch Impact Wrestling.
Oh, no, I was going to bring that up. At the beginning of this podcast, you were such an Impact Wrestling hater that my good friend Josh Matthews blocked you on Twitter.
No, that's not true. I wouldn't call it a hater. I'm very fair to everybody. Josh Matthews blocked me on Twitter because he posted some footage of the Ultimate Deletion match and was like, this 14 seconds is better than any moment in any WrestleMania ever. And I said, come on, Josh, man. I love you, but you know that is not true. And he blocked me like 2 seconds later. So I like the odd thing about that. Josh Matthews was one of my favorite Tough Enough contestants ever. I cheered for him every week, and the dude blocked me. It's unbelievable.
Well, all I'm saying is that at the beginning of this show, though, honestly, that was just my joke of him blocking you. I think it's funny to this day. But the fact that you like you really, really, really and you were hater might not be the right word, but you were definitely
very critical.
Yeah, very critical of them and what they were doing, their product. And you were like, you have the talent to be better, and
Sure. I mean, I wasn't crapping on them.
I mean, people can go back in the archives and listen. They really can. But the thing about it is, you would be like, I put it on to go to sleep. That's what I think about it. But here's the thing, though. I have to give Jeremy kudos, though, because he legit like said that, and then as the change happened in management, things happened, whatever, as it progressed. Before I worked there, okay, so it's not just he's biased now because his friend's there, but he legit like started to say, look, they're turning it up, they're doing great, they're doing this, they're starting to make, he said, I'm watching, and now I'm a fan again. They're making me want to watch, and now I would say, I mean, you said it on the show before that you're like, it's a really great product, and
I prefer watching it over AEW.
There you go.
For me, it's WWE, there's nothing anybody ever, other than putting Vince McMahon out of business, there's nothing anybody can ever do. And let's go a step further. Impact, we're talking about 20 years of Impact, they were the closest ever. I mean, obviously WCW had their little 80-something weeks. But when Impact decided to go head-to-head on Monday nights for that several-month period, and they were delivering fire content every week, that was the most fear that's ever been put into Vincent K. McMahon's heart, I believe. So he wasn't really worried too much about WCW. And after seeing some of these documentaries and things, I understand why. But Impact gave him a run for money. So not to get off on that topic as much as we did, but giggity. But, yeah, much love for Impact. I prefer watching it to anything else on TV right now. And I know that's going to anger our AEW circle jerkers out there, but the fact of the matter is, it's just better.
So, now I'm not an AEW hater. Of course, I like AEW. I got friends there, and I know.
Do you have friends there, Daniel? I hadn't heard.
I know you.
I missed this. Do you have friends there?
I do. I know you watch AEW, and I know Eric, you do as well. So
yeah,
but I wasn't going to talk about this now, but I guess since AEW was mentioned, let's bring it up. This weekend, there's the big Double or Nothing. A lot's riding on. This whole week they're in Vegas, right? Like from Wednesday night all the way until I'm assuming until the weekend. I can't remember where they're at. If they're somewhere else next Wednesday or not? But it's you got something I never thought would happen. CM Punk already in a title match. I didn't think it would happen this soon. You've got a great women's title match, I believe. At least what I feel like it's going to be a great match. You've got the whole MJF storyline going on with
which is still the anything MJF does continues to be the best stuff on AEW. 100%. And And I don't know what we need to do. Hangman Page, it came like a year too late for him. He's still kind of in this role. I don't buy him as the champion. I don't know if who's the heel and babyface in this feud, but I think Punk just needs to go ahead and take it and then go back into a feud somehow with MJF. I guess that's the only thing I can figure, because everything MJF does is solid. He's gotten Wardlow over huge.
Wardlow deserves to be over.
Yes, he does.
And he has benefited anybody that says he's not benefited from MJF and the heat he brings and stuff. It's just, like you said, every week. I fast forward through a lot of, just being perfectly transparent here, I fast forward through a lot of AEW. I stop for the promos. I stop for the in-ring segments, but every week the one thing I do not do is fast forward through the MJF and Wardlow stuff.
By the way, if there is a media press conference with Tony Khan, Jeremy will be the one at that press conference.
Absolutely. It'll be me.
Mr. AEW himself. No, I'm just playing. Jericho, too. You got to give Jericho a shout out of what he's done. Yeah. How he, once again, knows how to change it up and look amazing and, but also have a different character, but yet it's still the same, but yet it's different. It's what's this guy? How does he do it? I just don't get it. He's so brilliant in that. That's why I think he's one of the top five of all time.
Yeah. And if you go back, there's some old school rivalries in this match too, with Brian, with Moxley, they've both had their issues with Jericho, of course, in other companies, but, I like that they're all in there together. That's kind of cool. And Regal, let's face it, Regal and Jericho, you can go back to WrestleMania on that one.
Well, finally I saw the meme where he finally got his revenge for the guy who peed in his tea or whatever, and he punched him. Yeah. That's great.
Back to the biggest WrestleMania of all time, the two of them opening the show. So that's pretty cool. And there's some other stuff, but I still feel the heavyweight title's kind of on the wrong guy. I feel like the tag team titles are on the wrong people. If they can maybe they'll get that straightened out here, in this pay-per-view and get it on the right path.
We're going to have the finale of the Owen Hart tournament, right? Coming this weekend at Double Nothing as well. Okay.
Yeah, it looks like the men's and the women's, you'll have either Tony Storm or Britt Baker going up against either Ruby Soho or Chris Statlander. And then Kyle O'Reilly or Samoa Joe going up against Adam Cole. I'm not really sure who's going to do that. I almost think it's going to be Kyle O'Reilly, and they're going to kind of rehash that whole NXT feud. But because Samoa Joe has kind of got his own thing going on right now with the Ring of Honor thing. So I don't know, but both of those, matches will be good no matter who's in them.
All right. So, and that's the other, I can't remember if this was, I don't think this happened before we, for our last episode. I think it was announced afterwards, but I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but Ring of Honor, did we talk about the purchase of Ring of Honor?
We didn't go real in depth with it. If we did, I think it might have even been after. I know we've talked about it, but I don't think we talked about it on the podcast.
Do you know when was the last? When did we do the last episode of the podcast? It wasn't when we were in St. Louis, was it?
No, that was the last. Okay, let's go. The last episode. Well, no, the last episode was on February 23rd. 2022. Oh yeah,
then we had to have talked about it because it happened in February.
We were basically talking about it was called On the Road to Mania. We were talking about the exit of Cody from AEW, and then Elimination Chamber, and then Impact's No Surrender.
Yeah, it happened right around that same week. So,
yeah.
But interesting. Basically, just a different brand is what it's going to be. It's going to kind of be a Raw and SmackDown, but maybe done a little bit more split once it happens, I think.
Yeah. So, I'm curious to see what's going on with it. And so far, I think you know, it's kind of a mixture, but I feel like right now, maybe branding or another brand. I know they've launched a new logo, I think, right? New trademarks on that. So
yeah, it kind of looks like the TBS logo. Not a fan. It kind of looks all derp, derp, derp. It's I don't know how you translate that, but that's how it looks.
Well, here's the thing, too. I personally, I was against WWF at the time rechanging the WCW logo to something new with the red and the whatever. Like, I think, honestly, you recognize a brand by that logo and you purchased it. You can tweak it or do something to let you make it maybe make the colors the same colors as AEW, which I kind of was close to it, but like make them the exact gray and gold or whatever. But I think you keep that logo because that's the branding logo you've had for a long time. And I think that's WWF's mistake with WCW. Should have just kept that. They should have got rid of that, the pointy logo, but they went back to the classic WCW. I think it would have made maybe possibly WCW would have lasted. But then again, that company didn't want WCW to really succeed. They wanted it to be another brand and then eventually destroy it. That was the whole point. I don't feel that way for Tony Khan. I think he wants ROH to be lifted and succeed and be another brand, another entity that has his history as well. So,
and hopefully it will help with their roster issues where their, you know, roster's been so big. But I mean, they have thinned it out a little bit with contracts expiring and stuff, but I still think they've got, you know, way too many stars on their roster, and they need to, if they can use this Ring of Honor brand to kind of split them, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah,
I do too. Where's Russo? Where's Miro been? Like, he's not hurt. They don't have any TV time for him. The only really critical thing that I have about them is that in these first two or three years, they should have cultivated their own star. And by that, I mean, let me rephrase that. They should have brought in, shut up, Bobby the Brain and Slick. Sorry, talking to the dogs. They should have focused it more so around their people first and then brought the WWE guys in as kind of like special attraction and then worked them into the rotation instead of focusing on all the WWE guys and letting everybody else just sit there and be, oh, we're happy, we're here, we're getting some time. I think that's that in my mind, and y'all know I'm an old school wrestling fan, that's what turned me off to them from day one, is that they talk about these pillars of AEW, but yet all these pillars are in orange juice matches or coffin matches or, you know, just ridiculous sideshow attraction matches. And you got a guy like MJF who, I don't care how long he's been in the business, he is making people he's openly talking about jumping to WWE during the shows. That blurs the best wrestling, in my opinion, is when the lines of reality are blurred. And he is the only thing is, you have a lot of people that look at internet stuff all the time, so they think that they're, as you call them, smart marks. But for a lot of people, I don't look at the internet stuff. I like to be surprised. And by me watching TV every week, MJF is must-see TV. And just the fact that why would Tony let him talk about? And then there's been report, my brother and Steve, they like to read all the backs. So they're like, yeah, man, I saw where Tony Khan and MJF aren't happy with each other. It's legit. And, you know, there would have been a time where I'd have been like, all right, dude, whatever. But the Cody Rhodes situation really screwed up my, because I thought the same thing. I thought that thing was a work as well. And it ended up being the shootiest shoot you've ever shoot and seen. So I'll be quiet now. I'll let you talk. I'm sorry. It's been a while. I'm excited.
It's been, yeah. You talk a lot, but yeah, it's been a
while. I do. That's my job. I talk.
That's it. You talk too much. I'm here. I'm giving you my title and I'm walking out.
You talk.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, look at Eric over there. We'll get to that news in a second. Let's, I'm out of here. You brought his name up. Let's talk about it, because the last show we recorded was look, you're in San Francisco.
Yeah, I told you I'm out of here, pal.
the last show we recorded was on the roads to Mania, and we were speculating of Cody and what was going on and all that stuff, and pretty much the writing was on the wall that he was going to WWE and back to WWE, and looked like it. I think at the time we looked like it could have been Seth Rollins' opponent and what we're doing there, and the very end of that, right before we left, our good old pal Eric down over there said that, well, if he comes back, let's hope he doesn't use that crappy Kingdom song.
And I'm so glad he did. I changed my mind. It was wonderful.
Like I know, like, it was funny was I was showing our good friend AJ McKay, who's been on the show, and he was helping, he was actually working on helping, by the way, shout out to my boy Brian Hebner's new podcast. Check it out, Riffing It Up with Brian Hebner. AJ McKay actually, after a couple episodes in, did the intro, and I was kind of working that out, helping Brian, AJ get connected and all that stuff. And I was showing, I played this podcast. I forget why I played the end of it or what I did, but I played the last episode in, and I heard that, and I looked over to Eric and goes, "Yep, yeah, oops, I got that all wrong."
yeah, and I was wrong about it because it made it. It's because he used it. It was great, you know. Yeah.
No, I mean, it had to be. Like, I can't imagine him going back to Smoke It. Was it Smoke and Mirrors? What was his song?
Nah, I mean, he had a bunch of them. It was, yeah, the Smoke and Mirrors, and then he had a different one for Stardust, and then he had a different
I'm talking about just...
He had two different versions of Smoke and Mirrors,
Dashing Cody Rhodes. I just know that that's what he's been known up since he left, since 2017, when he created this song and went on the indies and went to Impact and ROH and New Japan and AEW. Like, he's, well, first All Out, then AEW. Like, that's been his song. So the fact that, like, you know, he needed to use it, because also it's like, it's kind of like the Hardy Boys. When you hear the dun 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 dun, dun, you're going to pop, you know, and that's what.
But as we know, nothing matters when you go back to WWE. Nothing you did anywhere else matters. But for some reason, in this case, it did. And for that reason, it became so much bigger. And I think you pointed out that he has now used that theme song on every major promotion's pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. And what's cool about it is that, you know, what gives him the ability to do that is that he had the license for it. He owned it. He bought it from the band, is it Downstreet? Is that what the name of it? Downstar? What's the name of the band? I don't know. They do like everybody's theme music. They do.
Couldn't tell you, but
they did Ziggler's. Go ahead.
Yeah. But seriously, I mean, what? WWE, Impact, Ring of Honor, AEW, New Japan, NWA.
Yep.
He's used all those places.
It's everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty awesome. The only person that never played it in was WCW, but they were kind of, he was too young
when
they fought it. So, and I don't think that band was around in 1999 to 2001 anyways. Oh, look at Jeremy has a Ringside Podcast background. All right. Look at him.
It's a backwards background at that. Sorry. I'm just sitting here.
The backwards.
I mean,
backwards?
It's the right side for us.
Yeah,
that's right. Oh, okay. I was gonna say, for me, it's backwards. So
everybody's just listening, so we could say anything. Oh, look, Jeremy's naked now. It's crazy.
Oh, but you go.
Wait a minute,
Jeremy. You really lost some weight.
I have.
All right. So,
me and Daniel are transitioning together.
All right. So, but yeah. So here's the thing. Let's talk a little bit about Cody a little more. So I think, look, to me, they've done Cody right. And I don't think they're done what their plan is with Cody either.
Nope.
And I have a feeling that we're even going to look back a year from now and say, yep, they booked him right the entire time. I do not see them messing this up whatsoever. And I hate to even say the word mess up, because I think even in wrestling, we may not like something, but yet it doesn't mean that it's messed up. It just means we don't like it, and it could be the long-term picture could be better, but that little shortcut could be a little funky. I don't see them having a funky little shortcut either. So,
well, here's the thing, and I don't, you know, I mean, we've all kind of looked forward for the last 2 years and said, you know, we see Roman and The Rock at WrestleMania in LA, And while I still see that now, I'm looking going, well, what do you, you know, do we go even longer for Cody? Because it seems like that could be the trajectory, and I don't see that happening before then, but that's just me.
Okay, so here's my, you know, we do these predictions all the time, and more often than not, I'm always right. But here's what I think happens. I think Cody Rhodes wins Money in the Bank, and he cashes in immediately after the Roman versus Rock match and wins the title at WrestleMania, becomes only the second ever to do that. That's what my mind, just with everything, like they want, even though Rock and Roman don't need the championship, sorry, Vince, they don't need the belt.
Then he just slammed him by saying belt again.
Yeah. Man, I got some beautiful, I'll have to show those to y'all next time, some beautiful new championships while I was down in Orlando this last vacation. But I can see them doing that. I can see him holding the championship all the way to Mania.
Yeah.
And Cody cashing in on him.
That's not a bad way, because, you know, you got to think Roman's going to beat Rock. And if you're going to close out the show, you might be right on that. Yeah.
I would love that. Fingers crossed. Because like you said, there's no way Rock's beating him for the championship.
But Cody still has a match, a marquee match at Mania. Just
sure, like, yeah, Rollins, absolutely.
Yeah, just like Seth and Randy fought the very opening match. I was like, man, this is a – I mean, it made sense after the end of the night, but I was like, man, this – because I was a huge Seth fan at that point. I was like –
yeah, me too.
How are you just gonna let him lose like that?
Right.
Well, I saw why later.
And it was one of the greatest RKOs of all time too.
Step up.
Yeah, that was great RKO. Look, I'm just excited to see what's going to happen. And by the way, Cody on the Broken Skull Sessions was phenomenal. Great show. One of my favorites they've done. But I'm really looking forward to this new
Broken
Skull Sessions. Because why? You know why? Because a ringside alum himself, Double J, Jeff Jarrett, that's JEFFJARRET, he's going to be live on the Broken Skull Sessions, and I can't wait to see this one. I'm looking forward to it. I popped when I saw that little picture. I wonder if we're going to talk.
That's exciting.
I wonder if we're going to talk about Deborah.
Well, yeah, but they've got history that involves more than just Deborah too.
They do got history. Please tell me they're going to talk about the old Louisville Gardens. You know they will. You know they're going to talk about Louisville Gardens.
Yeah,
that's what I'm excited about.
A lot of times they do bring up Louisville in those Broken Skull sessions, and it's awesome. But I think this will make the third straight Broken Skull sessions in a row that's not featured a current WWE, because there was Cody, then there was Bully Ray, and then now there's Jeff Jarrett. Now, there may have been another one sprinkled in there that I'm forgetting, but I don't believe that to be true. But, yeah, I like it. I like the fact that Vince has kind of let loose a little bit and been like, you know what, let him on for a couple hours. I love the Jericho one,
Jericho
too.
Jericho was great, too, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm waiting. I'm waiting for Scott D'Amore or a D'Lo Brown. No, I mean, serious. D'Lo.
Daniel Spencer.
No, not me. But
you know, those are his friends, Eric. I don't know if you've heard that before, but he knows those people.
Yeah.
No, I really think a D'Lo Brown would be awesome, because D'Lo would talk about everything, then also talk about his current role at Impact. So, like, I'm waiting for the Impact connection to come on, that's current Impact person. And or Mickey James, even. You know, like, Mickey could pop on there. That could be, you know, the next person that can be like a four.
Never happened. That door is forbidden.
So the last several ones, the last active WWE person that was on there was Becky Lynch. She was followed by Ron Simmons, which was Hall of Famer. Then Hall of Famer Lita, who at that point it was recorded she wasn't wrestling, but whatever. Then it was Bubba. Then it was Cody, and now it is going to be Jeff Jarrett. And then the next, I'm pretty sure Daniel's going to get the call here soon to go on there. So he'll be next. But no, man, I'm surprised. And I'll tell you.
What if Sasha's the next one?
She's already been one.
Oh, what if Sasha and Naomi are the next one?
All right. So let's, that's my other thing written down here. I want to hear your opinions of.
I didn't know how many times we had to tease it for.
I know, right?
Get it to us, right?
What do you guys think of the Sasha and Naomi situation? You know, you've work shoot. What?
No,
I'll be
go
honest.
Go ahead, Jeremy. With you. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Thank you. Y'all talk all the time. I don't never get to. No, I'll be honest with you. I think it's legit. But with everything that went on with Cody, it'd be a mastermind. It would be a complete genius. That's why I don't think they did it, because I think it's too good of an idea to come true. But as far as the actual actions, and there was something earlier this weekend where they were saying, oh, they didn't really walk out during the show. They walked out well before. And right before we started the podcast, our guy, Daniel's guy, Sean Ross Sapp, put out a story on Fightful stating, giving some details about how that may or may not have been. I don't want to give away his content. I apologize immediately. I don't want you to block me too. But where things may not be what were reported per se, but you can't. I don't care how dissatisfied you are. It was Monday night. Wait till Tuesday morning and turn your championships in. The whole night, it was still good. Raw has been a lot better. I will give it to them. And maybe it's Cody Rhodes that's making me feel that type of way. But I think overall, I mean, with Elias, his little brother coming back, that's been a great little comedy thing. It's Ezekiel. It's not Elias. They did the lie detector test and they passed it. But like all that stuff has been very, very entertaining.
You're a big Kevin Owens guy. You're actually believing.
I am. I talked to Kev the other day.
You smart him up, man.
Did you talk to Kevin or did you talk to Ken?
No, I talked. Maybe it was Ken. They played that joke on me before, but nevertheless, there's just a lot. So first off, let me push that to the side. You absolutely cannot walk out in the middle of a show, an hour before the show, 2 hours before the show, and everybody's first response to that is, well, Stone Cold did it. Yeah, and Stone Cold paid for a while. When Triple H did the curtain call, he paid for a while. This is not just us picking on poor. This is not Sasha's first temper tantrum. This isn't even her third one. So as much as I love and respect her as a performer, like at some point, that's why I didn't, where a lot of people are like, Jesus, Vince, you've done enough. The whole segment Friday night where Michael Cole just raked him over the coals, and then during the show Monday night, they admonished them multiple times and tried to embarrass them. And then right after the show, they put out that press release, which they've never done before. It's like, I feel like on some level, and y'all being in the business, y'all be able to let me know if I'm right or wrong on this anyway. I feel like if somebody walked out during the OVW television tapings or live show, that wouldn't go over well with the rest of the locker room. Is that correct?
See, I've got mixed feelings about this situation because I've seen a lot of people support them and I've seen other people, kind of dog them a little bit. I feel like, yes, you're right. It's Sasha's got multiple offenses here. And yes, Stone Cold did walk out back in the day. But Stone Cold was Stone Cold. Stone Cold was the biggest box office draw in the history of this business. He's got a little leeway there. Yeah. Sasha's not there, but I
CM
will
Punk
say this.
CM Punk did it too, guys. CM Punk did it in 2014.
CM Punk did it too, yeah. I was kind of negative against CM Punk by the same token. But here's the same way that I think about CM Punk, that I think about Sasha or whatever, is that if you don't want to be somewhere, don't be there. You know, I think that way about people at OVW. It doesn't matter what level you're on. If you don't want to be there, don't be there. You know, but at the same time, unless it's something completely against your morals, if it's something that's going to destroy your credibility, as a person or whatever, you do business. You do the business you're assigned to do, especially when it's been advertised. So if you can't do that and then move on, then that's a problem. And I think that Sasha has, with Naomi, everybody's talking about Sasha, not Naomi. And one, I think Naomi was just a product of this. Mm-hmm. And plus, she's kind of in that golden circle of top people right now because she's in that family. So maybe she's a little more protective, and I think time will tell, you know, who gets the bigger punishment on this. And I think we'll see that. I think we'll see one will get more than the other. But again, if you don't want to be there, don't be there. But do business. And if everything's true, what they didn't like and what they did, I think it's picky. I think it's just little things that really shouldn't matter. But again, that's their priority. They don't want to be there. Don't be there. But do business the night you're supposed to do business and then be done with it.
You all know how much I dislike Dean Ambrose, but yeah. He did things the right way. He did not like how things were going. And instead of just putting himself through it, he left. That's what they should have done. Again, they could have took care of that Tuesday morning. Like, WWE has afforded them both more than they would have ever dreamed to imagine getting in their entire lives. And WWE has done that for them. That didn't happen anywhere else. I mean, Sasha was wrestling overseas for quite a while. And even though your more hardcore wrestling fans like myself knew who she wasn't having match of the year candidates, you know, and stuff like that, you know, over there. It was WWE that put her matches on a bigger stage and gave her that opportunity. We saw Naomi all the way from, she started with WWE all the way back in NXT, and we saw her climb up the ladder. And I really like Naomi. I think she's a good wrestler. I like her passion. I like the way she portrays herself and carries herself. And maybe this was a situation where Sasha was like, come on, sis. If you don't go with me, nobody's going to take this serious. Again, you can have gripes with your storylines. I'm sure wrestlers have that all the time. But take care of that Tuesday morning. And you've given, at the end of the day, if Vince is the bad guy, you've taken all the power out of his hands. You do it Tuesday morning. There's a little something that goes on during the week. But it's not, these two people walked out on a TV show they had a responsibility to do and made us change the script 15 minutes into the show. So that's my only gripe, because like you said, there's a lot of people out there that are dogging them and supporting them as well. I think you can do both and not be a hypocrite. I appreciate everything they've done for the WWE. They just did one thing wrong. They should not have handled the business the way they did. As you said, simply, they should have done the business.
And then let's face it, if what is reported is true, and I'm sure some of it is, it might not be all of it, and it usually is not all of it, but if it's what's reported is true, again, you're still, even if you're unhappy with the creative, you are backing out of a match where you are featured in the main event of Raw, and you are headed toward possible main events at pay-per-views coming up, you know, in title matches. And if all that's true, what I'm hearing is reported true, it's like, you may not like the creative, but again, you're being featured, you know. But again, if you don't want to be here, don't. That's where I stand.
The only thing that I'll say is, and I don't know if this happened, I don't know what, I just know in the past, and I've seen that happen with talent before, where they don't like an idea or the creative or whatever it may be. So they walk up to the person, they tell them, I don't like the creative, I wish there's another way out of it, blah, blah, blah. Well, number one, if you don't walk up to them and say, look, I'm not really big on the creative. How about this? How about this? And you give them
always have scenario. A suggestion, yeah,
or have a couple of suggestions, because you know. And I don't know if they did this. I don't know anything. My opinion on it is I really don't know. I really don't have one, because I don't know the whole story. I just know I seem like there's missing parts, and we're hearing something from a Naomi camp on Twitter, and we're hearing the WWE stance. We're not really hearing everyone's version of it, so it's.
But I think we heard WWE's loud and clear. There's only a couple times that they've used that kind of thing. They used it with Stone Cold. They used it with Ultimate Warrior, I think, one time. But I think we know that this is for
Razor
real
too. Remember, Razor was in the Intercontinental Tournament. They pulled him out.
I think what made WWE do what they're doing, or Vince, or whoever made that decision, do what they're doing, is the fact that they left in the middle of the show or right before the show started or whatever. I think that's what it was. I think even if they didn't want to work the match and stayed there, I don't think they would have made this comment. I think they would have handled it internally and did their thing. Yeah. I don't know. It's we, you know, Stone Cold has said many times he wishes he wouldn't have done what he did. CM Punk clearly is happy that he did what he did. So there's two different people that have walked out that one is happy they did it and one is wishes they wouldn't have. So I don't know where – we'll have to see where Naomi and Sasha stands years later. You know, I mean, right now, the what is it? They're suspended indefinitely, correct? That's the word. I heard Jimmy Cordea say this on his referee rant that, you know, the bad thing is that this is getting reported, put out more over than your current storylines. That's what's wrong. And that's whether that's on purpose or not, I don't know. But who knows? It's wrestling, so even this may turn into an actual in ring angle, and we may be like, wait, again, was this a work or a shoot? But that's some of the best storylines are the real life stuff. So we'll see what happens. I'm hoping the best for everybody. I hope the best for Sasha, Naomi, their families. WWE, I hope it all works out for everyone in the long run, and they figured it out. And whatever that problem is, it gets resolved, and it doesn't happen again in the future with any kind of talent, where talent has to think they need to walk out or any of that. I just hope it all gets worked out. That's just my political stance on it, I guess, if I'm being political about it.
Really quick, because I just saw this. You know, before the show, Daniel and myself were trying out some new technology, and people are still watching it. I forgot to delete it off of Facebook, but Jesse Morris would like to say that Daniel Spencer sucks.
That's funny.
So that's on brand for him. So
I'll agree with that. Thanks, JMO.
I guess I shouldn't have brought that up. So I need to go ahead and delete that. Let's delete that out. You know, there's no need for that to still be up there. I deleted it off the YouTube, but anyway, sorry, I didn't want to forget that and everything. So,
well, I mean, you know, it's all right. You know, JMO, you know, he's needs to be careful because he stole me 2 hound dogs, and I can make him do it anytime, anywhere. So
I could go back to the roasting I did not too long ago at a party of someone we all know, and I think I roasted JMO pretty good then, but I won't do it again.
Ooh, man, I wish I wasn't in Orlando during that time, because that would have been great to hear you roast JMO. That would have been fun. Wow.
Well, I'm supposed to be the insider. I'm not invited to any of these events, though. Is the insider thing, is that a gimmick, as you'd like to say? Is that a work?
Well, I mean, you've never been at OVW, so it's hard to make you
that's
the insider.
Fair. Very fair. That's true. That's true.
We give you the inside, but
look, I could have been like back in the old WWE magazine. You had at the very end of it, it had like the question mark guy, and he alluded to all kinds of things that may or may not be happening. And I could be the anonymous question mark OVW question mark guy.
You could be. That's possible. CM Punk has made a lot of noise recently in his choice of shirts wearing out there. A lot of people was bashing. A lot of people has cheered him. What your thoughts, guys, on that? Do you have any thoughts on it?
I'll let you go first, Eric.
I don't want to touch that. It's, you know, here's the thing, like, and then that's the kind of guy I am. I'm not gonna touch it. I mean, any controversial issue, I'm not gonna touch. CM Punk is not that type of guy. He's gonna go out there and he's gonna express his opinion, and you run the risk of alienating part of your fan base when you do so. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he's perfectly fine with that, so
right.
good for him for expressing his opinions. That's just not my thing. I'd rather stay neutral on every any hot button issue, and that's what I have to do in my radio show. It's like, you know, we're not one of those radio shows that, you know, tries to get people fired up. We try to make people happy.
We don't do that here overall at Ringside. We've always been very down the middle, never sided on one side or the other, never got involved in hot topics or nothing like that either. So although we have went inside of a hot topic before, but
I just don't think that's the place or the time for that. I mean, have your own opinions and political beliefs. That's cool. But anytime that you wear something on your shirt that you may have parents at home that have to explain to their children, hey, what's this, mom and dad? Oh, crap. This is not what I want to do. I wanted to watch wrestling. I didn't want to have this conversation. I mean, feel free to have your own opinion about anything. That's fine. But I just didn't think, I just don't think it's the time or the place. Again, CM Punk, don't care. And he's risking, I'm not a guy that likes to go down the middle, giggity. I'm a guy who's very, very opinionated and loud. And I know y'all didn't know that about me, but not in a forum like this. This is not the time or place for me to be telling you all my opinions on important world events right now. This is a wrestling show, so I likely wouldn't do that. Now, after we got off,
first off, wrestling is important world event.
Well, no, I meant other than obviously Daniel Ferd. I'm talking about. I know that's not short for that, but no, I just didn't think it was the time or the place.
Okay, yeah, I mean that's, yep. I see what y'all mean, and
yeah, but we could talk about it after the show, and I'd be okay voicing. Oh, this is. I feel this way. I feel that way. But
oh no, I'm not. I
on the show, yeah. It's like it's just not this. That's just not the time or place. Like yeah. So, keep it in the closet. Wait a minute, that came out wrong. Keep your shirts in the closet. Not your. Never mind. Go to the next topic.
No, I mean that's pretty much it. Other than
Let's promote some like real shirts, some shirts that people might actually want to buy.
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, this show is sponsored by Collar and Elbow. You know, when you go to collarandelbowbrand.com, use promo code Ringside on capital letters. You save 10% and you have the Ringside podcast out. They have brand new apparel, new styles because of the new partnership style shirts that has the Collar and Elbow like logo on the sleeve. I always liked having logos on the sleeve. I thought that was cool. Logos in the sleeve, not to mention revamping some of the shirts. So go to collarandelbowbrand.com, use promo code Ringside, save 10%. And when you go to prowrestlingtees.com/Daniel Spencer, not only you get referee Daniel Spencer shirts, but you can get your very own Ringside Podcast t-shirt right there.
Yes.
Get yourself some. Yeah, and then...
And, of course, there's also Eric Cornish shirts there as well.
Just get ready to shout that out. You go to prowrestlingtees.com/Eric and AJ. Is it Eric and AJ?
No, OVW Eric. You can now go to that link.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, it is the new link where you can get the Eric and AJ shirt. You can also get the Eric, my man, tell him who's fighting shirt, the one fall shirt, and... While you're there, you can even find the shirt of a long-lost ring announcer by the name of Artichoke Jenkins. The throwback 1984 shirt. There, available as well.
So it's prowrestlingtees.com/...
OVW Eric.
OVW Eric. I need to update the website in the where it says AJ.
Yeah, I finally got Pro Wrestling Tees to switch that over for me because, you know, who wants AJ, you know, listed in your name? You know what I mean?
Good old AJ.
That just hurts the... Just hurts the algorithms.
Yeah, I know. Like having AJ in your name, that's not phenomenal at all. All right. So, any final thoughts before we close out this show?
It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to be back for me as well. Get my mind off of some stuff. So this is always. I've been asking when we're going to do this for quite a while, and we've even had some scheduled times to do it. And it just never came into fruition for whatever reason. But, yeah, it's been a blast. I can't wait to record some more of these. And I hope that we have something really special. I know Slammiversary is coming up. I hope we see – I know this should have been on my year. Had I known Mickey was going to be at the Rumble, I would have been like, man, wonder if WWE is going to return the favor and send somebody down there. That's going to be my bold prediction. I know we normally do those at the end of the year. My bold prediction, and I have no prior knowledge. Daniel tells me nothing about anything.
I know nothing anyways.
I want to. Okay. I'm going to predict that we see a current WWE star Slammiversary, whether it be they do the Hall of Fame. They don't do the Hall of Fame inductions at Slammiversary. That's at Bound for Glory, right?
I think they announce it at Slammiversary, and then they
okay.
Yeah,
I believe so too. So that's my bold prediction. Glad to be back. Can't wait to bring on many, 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 many more of these.
Nice. Yeah, and a couple great weeks coming up here. Next week, we're going to be talking about greatest Hell in the Cell matches, and we're going to be doing that. Mm-hmm. Then we got a couple guests lined up. So, you know, we're back in the saddle, as my good friend Steven Tyler would say. Or good friend? I wish he was.
Daniel's got all the important friends.
yeah, Steven Tyler's not my friend. Trust me. If he was, I would be through the moon. That's where I would mark out. All right. Eric, any more thoughts from you before we go?
No, just ready to, you know, get back in the groove here. Hope everybody will come out and see us at OVW in our summer tour. And of course, we've got All Systems Go coming up on June the 2nd.
Yeah.
That's going to be our next big event. Going to be huge. Going to have a Chain Carnage match, a Ronin Underground Fight Club match, title matches, and a special guest coming to see Mahabali Shira. He's been sending gifts. Be interested to see who that might be.
Are y'all going to at least tell me who that is after the show?
I mean, he sent Shira some Stone Cold beers, so I'm assuming.
I mean, I have a guess, but I don't want to say it on the air in case I'm wrong.
Well, Shira doesn't know. Al Snow's the only one who knows, and he's not allowed to tell anybody.
All right, I guess not. All right, guys, as always, thanks for listening. You can.
I'm sorry about your damn luck, Jeremy.
You can get us all on the Podcast Avenues, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Apple Podcasts. Or just go to ringsidepodcast.com. Many different ways. I only named a few. So anywhere you get podcasts to hear us out, you can get us all on the social media, the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook at Ringside Podcast. Individually on Twitter and Instagram, I'm at Daniel Spencer.
I'm at Jeremy _CSZ.
And I'm at Eric on the Air.
All right, guys. As always, thanks for listening. Tune in next week when we talk about the greatest Hell in the Cell matches. And as always, in the meantime, blah, 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 blah. Let me try that again. And as always, in the meantime, in between time.
Until next time, you can catch us ringside.
And listening to the Ringside Podcast is a human right.
See ya.